Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, you lovely lot, and welcome to this week's Tuesday Night Jaw. That's a great start. I nearly forgot what my own podcast is called. Wonderful stuff. Talking of this podcast, we are doing a live version of it. We're teaming up with our friends from the Hardest Part of the Ring, and we're calling this live edition The Hardest Part of the Jaw. It's taking place at London Podcast Festival in King's Place on the 8th of September at 2 p.m. Tickets are on sale now. Ooh, it's exciting. We've done London Podcast Festival before. Me, Pip Smallman, Glenn, TK Cooper. We did one about a Royal Rumble. That's where the Viscera thing came from. It's in the archive somewhere. Go back and listen to it. It was a good laugh. We're really excited to do the stuff with The Hardest Part of the Ring because they're bringing a quiz. I'm bringing some guests who are hopefully far more knowledgeable about wrestling than I am, and we're going to have a grand old time. If you want to find tickets to it, you can either search London Podcast Festival and The Hardest Part of the Jaw, or if you want to go easy, go to my Twitter page. That's the pinned tweet at the top. Bam! Business done. We are, of course, part of the Distraction Pieces Network, a lovely network to be part of. I always reference the group chat. The group chat this week has been lit as we were discussing how to spell five correctly. Is it spelt five, like the word five, or with the number five at the beginning of it? Answers on a postcard. That turned into talking about songs from movies. There you go. That's what we do at Distraction Pieces Towers. Talking of towers, we are recording this podcast at Wrestling Travel Towers, who have been very, very kind to allow me to come down and use their office today to record this. So we apologize if there's any background noises. You might hear a dog barking occasionally because there is a office dog. So instantly, this is the best office in the world ever. And there's a lot of business going on around us. So hopefully background noise isn't too bad for everyone. If you, for some reason, have happened to blindly play this podcast and not look at the name of the guest that's on it, you might have had a hint who it is because we're at Wrestling Travel's head office. Wow, that was really a far reach. This week's guest is one of my proteges, ring announcer, social media person, and a PMA activist. My guest is Lucy Openshaw.
Hello.
Lucy, who is the second guest in 2 weeks to bring a notepad.
Wow.
That's what you and Chris Egan have in common.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Bless.
I respect that.
It's just got like a list of stuff that I've done in like the past in case I forget.
Yeah.
And like lists of people who I've ring announced, which is quite...
That is quite
sizable.
Yeah. That's good.
I think I'm up to about 100 and... I think it was like 120.
See, I've not taught you this. I've got a Google Drive, though, where like I've got all my introductions.
Yeah.
And then I've got all the moves and stuff on there.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll hook you up one.
Nice one. Yeah, I appreciate
you
that.
You need to graduate before I give you that access.
Okay, cool.
That's not anyone sees that.
So. Right, okay.
But yeah, I've been meaning to get you on since day one. I've been waiting for the right moment. I felt really bad you were my standby last week. which is an awful situation to be in. Like, oh yeah, in case James Drake is incompetent, which he often is.
I mean, there's worse people to be
A backup two.
A backup two, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, someone signed by WWE. That's I can, you know.
And as of yesterday, as of recording, the now one half of the Progress Tag Team Champions.
Indeed, they are.
As well. I was there. I went and ran across from London and Film Comic Con to watch that match, and it was cracking. So if you've got Progress on demand, watch it. I don't need to plug that anymore.
No, but it's still, you know, good.
I probably should, because they pay me to work there. So so I've known you for a while now. Mm-hmm. So, because here's the thing, I was trying to figure out when we like first met. I know when we first started like becoming mates, which was obviously when you were Fighting Spirit. Mm-hmm. But your first independent show was Dream Tag Team Invitational.
Yes.
The first one, which was about a month or so after the UK tournament.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was your introduction to independent wrestling,
wasn't
it? That was
it. That was my first ever show. I even remember someone telling me, don't expect it to be as good as that WWE show because, you know, it won't be. And it was.
It's
different. It was completely different, but I was still as invested watching that as I was watching the UK tourney.
Me and Rob Halden were talking about this the other day. Rob is a guy I do commentary with at Future Shock, if anyone out there doesn't know who Rob is. Rob used to come and watch Fight Club a lot, and Rob was watching Fight Club during that period of time, which is such an odd period of time because we had just gone from Travis Banks winning the world title from Pete Dunne at Fiction, which is still one of my favourite wrestling moments of all time. And I never know the official number in Fiction because it was a tiny little sweat box.
I never made it.
Well, this is it. Because,
I'm so gutted.
Because Dream Tag was the end of Fiction, but we didn't even know it was the end of Fiction. So we would get between, like, I'd say 150 to 350 in there. Mm. And, like, 350 felt like 3,000 because they were on top of the ring. Like, I literally had to fight my way to the ring to do ring announcements in there. And then the Dream Tag thing came up, and we did over 1,000 people. I think it was like 1,200 or something like that, in a banqueting hall that was an absolute sweatbox.
Oh, that was grim.
It was horrible, right? And then the show was running really late, and I had to stare at Pentagon in the face and tell him we were running late, which is the worst thing I've ever had to do. Because he's wearing his mask and his full makeup, and it was just a really, really stressful show. Mm. But it was amazing because the main event was what it was, which is the Elite, the Bucks and Kenny Omega against British Strong Style.
Amazing.
Which now sounds like a fantasy, because that would never happen now.
So when I went to that show, I had no idea who the Elite were, because brand new into wrestling. Mm-hmm. I knew British Strong Style were, obviously, because I've literally fangirled them since the moment I saw them. Mm-hmm. So I went with Rick, who's my ex but best friend, and he was so excited to meet Kenny Omega, and, you know, and I'm just like, Trent Seven's there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, who are these guys?
Oh, no, you said it now, haven't you? He's going to wear that.
He knows. He knows, unfortunately. He knows. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's so, like, it's such a fascinating point in British wrestling history because it seems really, like, recent, seems really modern, but that's like nearly 3 years ago now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it really, the change that happened after that first tournament, where it wasn't, you know, Progress was Progress. Progress has always been Progress. You know, when the minute they moved to the ballroom was when Progress became or started to become what Progress is now, and they've continued to carry on. But everywhere else felt weird. Like it was never catch up, but it was, everyone was kind of too busy doing their own thing. And you obviously had ICW, which had the BBC Three documentary, and they were killing it up in Scotland. But like Fight Club was kind of this, ironically given the name, it was kind of like this really best kept secret. Mm. And then the tournament happens, and you've got Tyler, Trent, Pete, Dan, and I'll never forget because it was always on the video packages. I can never remember his name, and I feel awful about it. There's a guy who always comes to Fight Club, comes with a giraffe, who's actually been in a three-way dance with Martina, a Fight Club show.
Standard.
But he has a Fight Club Pro flag on a British flag.
Yeah.
And he was like,
yeah,
just on like hard cam side for the whole show. And then like, it almost like straight after that tournament, Fight Club just completely changed and is now what it is. So, but it's crazy to think that like that was only 2 or 3 years ago. And I think what I'm trying to say here is you came in at a really good time.
Yeah. So I've been told a lot. I have been told that a lot. And I know I don't have much knowledge of past wrestling stuff, but I feel like I've sort of invested a lot of time into what's going on now.
Do you with that, because I know we sort of wind you up about it, obviously, given the two shit thing. You didn't understand the click.
I mean,
hand
I
size.
Did. I knew it because I'd done it before, but my fingers just didn't work.
Yeah.
And I'm just sat there with Scott Hall, and it just went, and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
Oh, Brooker took the mick for that.
I've seen him winding you up about not knowing who Roddy Piper is.
Oh,
well.
God, yeah. Yeah, not a clue. Yeah.
Did you not even... Because you watch All of Sunny, right?
Did I watch what, sorry?
Have you watched It's All of Sunny in Philadelphia?
I've seen bits.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, because he's in the wrestling episodes.
Oh, right, okay,
He becomes a recurring character.
Right, okay.
So I was thinking, like, I would have loved it if he'd been like, oh, what, the guy that's in Always Sunny?
Yeah.
And watched all these, like, lifelong wrestling fans just start crying. Do you feel that sometimes you feel a little bit alienated by that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when I first went to like For the Love of Wrestling, and I got given like a list of, in fact I've got it in my notebook.
Yes.
Of people. And I literally went home and I googled who these people were.
Yeah, yeah.
To know who they were like, and then I got told I didn't really need to do that anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was good because I spent ages doing it.
Yeah.
Like I knew Chris Jericho was.
Obviously, yeah.
But yeah, literally had no idea who half of these people were. So I did a bit of research and yeah, I still feel like there's a lot I need to learn.
So this is, it kind of makes me laugh because I've mentioned it a load on this podcast, but so when I got into wrestling, I was 13.
Right.
And I started training when I was 15.
Right.
Like I literally just turned 15. So I had 2 years worth of wrestling knowledge. Mm. Now, admittedly, I got really obsessed and stuff and I used to like the video games. So I kind of knew a lot, but like, I didn't get into ECW until ECW ceased to exist.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what independent wrestling was until we found Ring of Honor, which was starting up when we started training. Mm. I didn't even know what British wrestling was until I was on shows and saw Robbie Brookside and Johnny Kidd have a rounds match. Mm. So it's one of them things of, I always find it funny because I'm like, it doesn't matter when. It just matters if you do enjoy it and care.
Yeah.
And you clearly are very passionate about it.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
And there's going to be a generation, and I know for that Dream Tag Show is, my analogy I always love to use, it's the 1970 Sex Pistol gig in Manchester with Tony Wilson. It was there, and everyone claims they were there because it's an iconic gig that gave birth to the music scene within Manchester.
Yeah,
came with Stone Roses, Happy Mondays, all that. I feel like Fight Club and that show is a little bit like that.
Mm.
So we're going to have it, 15 years in the future. People are going to, there'll be people coming into wrestling going, who's Tyler Bate? Who's Pete Dunne? And, you know, there is every point in history, there's always that moment, you know. So, I always find it fascinating because, again, I think... Because you initially started training to wrestle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you started with Fighting Spirit up in McGull with Zach Gibson and James Drake.
Yep.
And obviously you mentioned Rick, who's... the ex, but now a good friend who's just started wrestling on shows as Leon.
Leon Gray. Yeah.
You're welcome. Giving you the shout out there. so you, because that's when we first started becoming friends and hanging out. But why did you decide to stop wrestling or not pursue the physical side of it?
It hurt. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It hurt a lot. I'm a bit of a wimp.
Yeah.
I'm 6 and a half stone went through, and it just really hurt. I remember getting suplexed off Rick onto a crash mat, and I had a headache for like 2 hours after. Yeah. Just little things like that, and I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it because it was good fun, but I was always the one that couldn't do stuff, and it's a bit disheartening when everyone else can... be thrown out the ring or shit canned out the ring, and I literally just didn't have the confidence to go over the second rope. Like, I just couldn't do it, and it took me like 3 months to be able to do it.
Yeah, it's
There's a lot of confidence involved, and I don't have the confidence to... I can't even dive in a swimming pool head first because I'm scared of hurting myself.
So, I mentioned this on the Q&A episode I did when I took over about how... Okay, yeah, I wrestled for a bit and I got on shows and stuff like that, but I was never... In my head, I was never a wrestler because... I got to a certain point where I was looking at people around me and I was like, well, I'm not to the standard that I should be.
Yeah.
I'm not to the standard that I uphold of myself.
Yeah.
So I get that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I had a little bit more experience with it, but yeah. I think it takes a lot of guts to have that conversation with yourself.
Yeah.
Instead of living a lie or a fantasy, you know. And again, you now have an appreciation for it.
Oh, God, yeah. So much appreciation. Like, so the first time I saw a wrestling match and I'm just seeing people throwing each other about and stuff, I'm just like, meh. And now I watch it, I'm like, I know that, you know, getting a chop hurts.
Yeah.
Getting anything, even just running the ropes, it doesn't tickle. No. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, it a front bump hurts, a back bump hurts. It hurt me anyway.
It hurts everyone, trust me.
No, I've got so much respect for people who do it, and like people who do like two shows in a day and stuff. I'm like, God Almighty, like
takes a toll.
It does. Yeah. And when people are walking and they've got, oh, I've got a sore back, I'm like, yeah, I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, yeah.
But definitely. I think it's. Oh well, obviously we'll move on to the conversation of you and where you are now in the world of wrestling. But I think people that have non-wrestling roles within wrestling. I always encourage to do some form of training.
Yeah.
If you have physical limitations, I understand, and it's not possible, but...
Just to watch and learn how things are done.
Because could you still go to training and you still... I've been down to Fighting Spirit a million times and I still learn stuff of Zach and JD. And I think it gives you, especially for... I think for a commentary aspect as well, it helps me... be able to narrate what's going on
because
I'm constantly understanding what's going on. But I think as well, it gives you a connection to people if you're a ring announcer and it makes you want to be the best ring announcer in the world ever for that person. Like, I've said it a million times, my favourite person to ever introduce is Travis Banks because I was very fortunate that I came into Fight Club literally the match after the Travis Banks rocket to the top started. Yeah. So I got to... have that journey with him, and now I will never forget Trav's introduction. I'll forget David Starr's, and have done once on a show, and I missed one nickname, and everyone hates me for it. So
yeah, I've got him in a few weeks' time, in like 6 weeks, and I'm like, I really want to learn it off by heart just to be the Billy Big Bollocks, but then I'm like, if
don't do
I mess it up,
don't do it.
I can't. So no. I'll learn it to the best of my ability. Yeah. But if I need to look, I'm going to look.
Do it. So I think I've told this story before, but the reason why I missed out, he's the Bernie Sanders of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And the reason why was because I was writing it down and someone interrupted me while I was writing it down and I missed that one out.
Yeah.
So I did it and like it was at Fight Club and everyone was like, and whatever. And the worst moment about that was, I think it was a four-way, and Mike Bailey, who I'd met for the first time, was just sat in the corner and he was looking at me and he kind of was looking at me like, are you all right? And I was kind of like, and then I nailed his introduction. He kind of gave me like a little nod and then did his little taunt. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. Like, it was just awful. Like, one of them moments where you just go, oh. But hey, it's wrestling.
Yeah.
Come on, David. Give it up. Get rid of the nicknames. Right. Just get rid of him.
He's added more as well. So
I know, Oh, you've got to watch him.
I do. I've literally messaged him to ask him if he's updated it. Ring announced him for Future Shock.
Mm-hmm.
I got given 24 hours notice for that, which was really helpful. And I'm literally sat in my car. I'd recorded it on my phone and I'm doing it over and over again as I'm driving there. But now I'll make sure that just a week before the cave, I'll just go, listen, have you added anything else to mess me up here?
So I get tagged every time he changes his introduction.
Nice.
Yeah. You want to get on that hype.
Yeah, definitely.
When people know, like, oh, you got this. CC Matt Richards. I'm like, thanks, man. But there is a rhythm to it as well, and there's a sense to it. So, like, the 104-minute man and Mr. America and Rana are around about the same time.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders, a professional wrestler, and the most entertaining man in professional wrestling around about the same time. So it does make sense.
Yeah.
He's actually explained it to me, and I'm like, oh, that makes me, it makes it click a little bit now. But yeah, it is a nightmare. Yeah. Like, because this, the difference between him and Martina is Martina gives you, well, gives me, from my experience, a complete, full, creative control of it. So I always, my goal with Martina is like, can I make her laugh at the joke that I'm going to make? Which is great fun. So yeah, because I was, weirdly enough, I was actually watching you this morning because we were watching the Breed show from, it just put up on YouTube. It was big. We were watching Big Joe versus Jan Simmons, and then we ended up watching the tag team match with Club Trocana and Martin Steers. And someone who looks like Sasha Moff but isn't El Moffo.
El Moffo, wasn't Sasha Moff.
Very similar lifestyle choice. But yeah, I was watching you do their introduction, obviously from the inner city flats in Mexico. But yeah,
with the Bambinos.
With the Bambinos. Bambinos. Which I think, I'm pretty sure is an Italian term, by the way.
Oh, she told me to say that. I know. So fair enough.
That's why I wanted to say it. So if you ever want to know if Martina's a gimmick, she told a ring announcer to say something Italian on a Mexican slash Spanish gimmick. She probably doesn't even know where Italy is. So I'm sorry. I do really love her sometimes. But yeah. So, okay. So you decide training's not for you.
Yes.
Wrestling's not for you.
Yes.
And then what's the first step after that? Because I feel like it was you starting to do stuff more like social media and stuff like that, and then ring announcing kind of just came up. Was
It just sort of happened. Let me just consult my list of where I've worked, and then I can like work back. So like, I just started like selling merch at places. I didn't want to just be like, I just wanted to be part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started selling merch at. Where did I sell merch? So I went to TNT and I shadowed Leanne Marie, who there she does commentary, but I didn't do any commentary stuff because that is way, I can't, just no, it scares me.
You'll get
legitimately scares me.
Totally getting used to it.
honestly, it scares me because I don't know move names.
It's all right. You've just gone Joseph.
Oh,
I'm joking, Glenn. Please, please. I've got to get so getting fired.
I have nothing to do with this, Glenn. Just throwing that out there.
It's all right. You can take my job when I get sacked.
I started like shadowing Leanne, and I did like a few mock interviews with people.
Yeah.
And went to This Is Wrestling.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, do you want to try and do some interviews with us? And they give me like a list of a million people to interview. And I was just like, I've never done this before. This is interesting. So I interviewed a few people, but the confidence just wasn't there. And like, and then on that day, they even said, oh, do you fancy ring announcing the girls match? And I was like, yeah, why not? Let's give it a go. Why the hell not?
Yeah.
So I did it. Again, I wasn't very good, but I really, really enjoyed it. Yeah. Like, I used to be in a band, and I used to, like do, like, performing and stuff like that, and there's no better feeling than being on stage.
Yep.
Even though I'm riddled with anxiety going to Asda.
Same.
But getting on stage...
Oh, yeah.
It's as if I'm a different person.
Yeah, it's because you... Well, you are.
You are.
You... Even as a ring announcer, you are you, but you're a version of you you know,
it's cranked up.
Yeah, it is, and it's hard to describe because every time I say that, I feel like people think you're not being you or being authentic to you. Trust me, if you've ever seen me at Fight Club Pro, that is not a fucking exaggeration of the human being I am. That is 100% me. In fact, if anything, if you've ever seen me ring announce anywhere else, I'm probably a lot tamer than I am in real life. So, but it's you do feel more confident. There's something about it.
Yeah,
I love it, and like I miss ring announcing as much as I did, but you know I made decisions which were my decisions to go and do other things. But it is mental how you can just be like, oh, I really don't want to have to go into the bank and speak to someone about this, but then you can stand in front of like hundreds and thousands of people
and just be like, it is. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, there's no... I just fucking love it.
And it's I love it.
Yeah.
I get it because I've done it.
Yeah.
And I think, again, I'm not saying, like, people don't get it because they've not done it, but I feel like when you've done it, there is no better feeling than being in it. And again, the way I always describe it is that you're not the focus of the attention. Mm-hmm. You are to the left or the right of this amazing thing that's happening.
Yeah.
But you're in the middle of the amazing thing that's happening, trying not to lose your actual shit.
Oh, I lost my shit. Okay, I'll give you a story. I was at Breed a couple of months ago or weeks ago. I can't even remember now. I can't keep up. And it was... So Session Moth and Gene Money have been having a match for 100 and something days now. Mm. It has been ridiculous. They've been everywhere with this match. It started on our second show in March, and it has just gone on and on and on. So the last show, I introduced it, and Gene Money's entrance music came out, and I was just like, right, give him the mic because he's just amazing. So he was like, and then Martina came out, both absolutely knackered for fighting for 100 and odd days, and they were like, right, let's end it here, let's end it now. And neither of them wanted to give up, of course, naturally. And then they announced that they were taking it to the cave in a death match.
Hell yeah.
I lost my shit. I'm ringside. I'm going, oh my God, that's amazing. Oh my God. I'm going to get to announce that. Holy shit. A death match in a cave with Martina and Gene Money. Like, oh my God. I even went over to Mitch, who like runs Breed. And I was like, did you know about that? And he was like, yeah, of course I did. And I was like, but why didn't you? And he was like, because of that.
Yeah.
And I was like,
there you go.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm marked out so bad. And I literally got in the ring and I was like, holy shit. And it's cool because, first and foremost, I am a fan.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And
that's not a bad thing.
No.
No.
Because if you're not, then you just, it's not, I don't know, there's just not the passion there. And
yeah.
There is for me. That and yeah.
That's good. You should never lose the passion.
No.
Right, I've told you I'm going to keep doing this on these podcasts. What we're going to do right now is we are going to take a quick commercial break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome back from said commercial break as Lucy laughs at the fact that that you had a 30-second advert and we had literally about 4 or 5 seconds break.
If that.
Welcome to show business. So, ring announcing. This is where I'm going to go. So you are officially part of my Wu-Tang Clan-esque group of ring announcers.
Yes.
So it's you, it's Jada Roberts, it's Neil Bradbury, the real deal. Neil Steele, aka that's his like Ghostface Killer, aka Iron Man name, and then she's kind of like our red man. She's not like technically in the group, but she is affiliated with us. Rosa Rose from Riptide, who I helped when she first came in. So you are my crew of ring announcing proteges that I've seemed to have acquired over the sort of course of the last year or so, which is cool. I love it.
I think it's
really nice. Yeah. Like, it really makes me chuckle when people make reference to it now when they like they either see a ring announcer or a ring announcer says to me like, oh, you know, like, should can I come into your group? And I'm like, It's not like we're doing anything. It's not
it's
like
an
I'm
an elite group, guys. No,
like. It's not like I feel like people have it in their head that I'm like hosting fucking seminars or like PowerPoint presentations. Literally, like I'll be at a show and I go, all right, well, I'd recommend doing this, or doing this and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But what really, what I really like about having a group of people that are so different is I get to help you all differently, and I think you're all at different points in your career as well, and I think you all have different assets. And the one thing that really made me chuckle about you is so when I first started ring announcing, I was, and I hate it now, like I can't go back and watch that stuff. So one of the things I can't watch is the first Tetsujin show, because I fucking hate myself during it. I'm literally like the most boring and most straight-laced man in the world ever, which is such a fucking lie. So the one thing that kept on happening with Smallman and Brooker were always like, be yourself. Stop pretending to be a ring announcer. Be yourself. And it was like, it took me ages and it clicked for me. Like, Fight Club is the thing that helped me do that. And some of the others have a little bit, like Neil is the one, like Neil hates me now because he's like, oh, have you got any feedback? And I'm like, be yourself.
Yeah.
I can see him going, I don't get it. And he will. But with you, if anything, I feel like we have to fucking tone you down sometimes. Like, you're so like, come on, wrestling! But I love that because, like, I feel like it's so archaic to have someone in a suit or, you know, a bloody ball gown who's like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck
that's
that.
Not me.
No, and it shouldn't. It shouldn't be anyone.
No.
Like, don't get me wrong, there's people that are great. You know, you look at WWE, you got people like Greg Hamilton. Who's to me, I'm like, oh, you're a ring announcer.
Yeah.
And you've got Mike Rome, and her name has gone out of my bloody head. She's just started doing NXT, and her name's just gone out of my head. I can see her as well. Oh, it's going to really wind me up, and someone's going to tweet me and tell me, thank you. she's fantastic. And they're like, you know, you have that thing in your head where you're like, even though you're in your 30s, you're not an adult, and you see someone else, you're like, that's an adult. Wow.
Yeah.
I see them and go, see, they're ring announcers.
Yeah.
I'm just a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But we do such a different job to that, you know, and I think that's what really stood out to me, because I was there at the first breech show you did.
Yeah.
I literally coached you through it.
I was halfway through, like, tell me what I'm doing. Can I do this? Am I doing this right? Like, right, calm down.
But it's just like formatting. Like, that's literally
it. Yeah.
Because again, it's like you come into wrestling in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing when you started watching wrestling, you weren't paying attention to what the ring announcers say.
No.
So I know a ring announcer who I won't name because it will embarrass them, that didn't know you announced the winner after the match.
Right.
And like, to me, that's like the most ludicrous thing in the world ever. But if you don't know...
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know.
For example, I reffed a match for the other day, which was quite ironic. Saying as I don't know the rules, I don't know anything about it. Luckily, I had Chris out there who was like, I got your
bet. The best of the best.
Yeah. I got your bet, girl. And I was like, right, sweet. I have no idea that... even though I've watched so much wrestling...
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that you needed to say ring the bell after you've counted the 3 pin.
Yeah, it's again, because it's...
No
it's,
one ever tells you.
You only notice when it's not there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Carlos Ramos just went, what do you need to do after? And I was like, count to 3. And he was like, no, what else do you need to do? Grab the bell. And he was like, yeah, but what else? And he was like, you need to ring the bell. And I was like, oh, for Christ's sake, yes, of course I do. Thank you. So, yeah.
No, I get it. So, I mean... For you, what was the hardest thing in terms of ring announcing to start, like, picking up? And what was the thing that you think you still need to improve on?
I get tongue-twisted a lot, and I forget a lot of stuff.
Okay.
So, I literally have to have everything written down, but then I don't want to be one of them people that is glued to the, you know, to the piece of paper or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone always says, oh, you're better without the paper, like, when you're just being you. And I'm like... I get that, but I also mess up more when I do that. But, oh, I were it the other day. I was saying to someone, they were like, right, just be yourself. And I was like, well, I'm shit. They were like, well, that's your gimmick, do it. And I was like, fine. It's not that I'm shit. It's just I get things wrong and I'm human.
Okay, but everyone gets things wrong.
Yeah.
Jim once denounced Will Ospreay, who just won the Best of the Super Juniors, as the best of the best winner, which is a fucking CZW tournament.
Amazing.
So not even the right bloody company.
Amazing.
And no one gives a shit.
No.
Like, this is the thing, is like, to us, that's the end of the bloody world.
Yeah.
And like, there's times like, there's if you go, like, if you literally on Fight Club's on demand thing, go through and watch how many mistakes I make. And, like, it, we all make mistakes. And I still do it with commentary. Yeah. I still do it when I'm on stage. I did it this week at London Film Comic Con. Like, you know, there's 25,000 people there and I make a mistake, but you learn how to
handle it.
To handle it.
Apparently, yeah. I'm quite good at handling when I mess up.
Because, yeah, you do what I do, which is self-deprecation.
Yeah.
You point out that you fucked up and then you go, whoop, sorry.
Yeah.
Because people like that, because it makes you human.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants, no one likes anyone that's perfect at their job.
No.
Because you, there's this weird thing where we're like, well, that's disingenuous, they're not real.
Yeah.
And that's, it's interesting when people say, well, you're not you when you have a bit of paper, because you're not, because you're an automated robot.
Yeah.
So this is my advice, because this is kind of going to work, turn into like a, this is going to turn into, ironically, the thing I said that doesn't happen.
Yeah. We just need Jay to walk in, we need Neil.
Jobs
are gotten.
Come on in, we're at the round table.
Oh, also, a massive congratulations to Jade for doing Said I Girls.
Oh, because I'm a proud dad and I'm going to get emotional.
Honestly, so. I messaged her the other day when someone tweeted and said you should get a girl ring announced. This was before she was announced. And someone added me and Jade into the comment. She messaged me going, I've got the gig. I've just not told anyone. I was like, I'm so proud.
She will tell you that I might have made threats that if she didn't do that, I was going to kill someone.
Good.
Because so, she's unbelievably talented.
Yeah.
Like, and it really makes me angry that she's not at more places.
Yeah.
And I know what those Fight Club show, Fight Club Pro shows can do. Because, again, you know, it was a Sendai Girl show, but it's obviously in association with Fight Club Pro. And I know it's not about ability sometimes, it's about a platform.
Yeah.
And when you have that platform, that's when you get better.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate that when I came into Progress as a commentator, I wasn't very fucking good. Like, I don't particularly think I'm amazing now, but I'm better.
But you learn it, yeah.
But the reason I got better was because I was had to. And you just need that opportunity to have a platform. So I'm really glad she got that platform. But the thing, the thing that she does really well is she has her formula down. And this is my advice to any ring announcer. Find your formula. So I have buffering words, I have reset words. So if you, everyone's going to be like watching me like a hawk now on a ring announcer. So when I go, right, my body plants itself and I stop moving. And then everyone kind of like subconsciously knows that I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
Simon Cassidy does it. So when someone, Simon Cassidy goes, the following contest is scheduled to 1-4. Like, and everyone goes 1-4, introducing first. And like everyone like just knows that that's the moment. And that having that thing that's yours sets you. And then you go on the formula. So my formula is introducing first from da-da-da-da, you know, and then I'll always do he is or she is or they are if they're a champion, and then it's nickname and then name. Like, that's my formula.
Yeah.
I don't do weights, I don't do heights, unless it specifically asked. So obviously Trent Seven is weighing in a hench, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But have a formula, because then everyone becomes fits into your formula.
Yeah.
And you develop a rhythm. And again, I was using Travis Banks as an example. So it was always a Fight Club Pro, which was introducing first, fighting out of Auckland, New Zealand. This is the Kiwi Buzzsaw, Travis Banks. And like, people pick up on the rhythm. So like, I always like it. Like, if, when I was doing Fight Club, it would always be like, when I would say fighting, like there was anger and aggression in it. And then it would be back to sort of more like standard for the Auckland, New Zealand. And then like, I really like get the like rev it up for like the Kiwi Buzzsaw. And then like Travis Banks is like the punctuation on the end. And like, you find that with people. And like, I think with you, that's going to be experience. And it's going to help you like start piecing everything together, because you stop fucking worrying about like the technical, I guess, side of it. Because people get so like, because more and more your brain's a prick, right? Which we'll get onto later. But your brain is a prick. Not just your brain, everyone's brain's a prick. So if you start going, right, I can't fuck this up. Your brain's going to go, I'm going to fuck you up. You know, and again, I've spoke about this publicly, but like when I was introducing that, the elite British Strong Style match, like British Strong Style at that point were like fucking, it was white noise, like I just, it just came out of my mouth with any thought, but I was like, my brain just went, do not fuck this up. This is fucking Kenny Omega
yeah.
and the Young Bucks. And my brain was going, oh, but is it Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, it is.
You're having this internal fight
yeah.
while having to remain, like, cool on the outside.
Yeah.
But it's that thing of, like, I always say, ring announcing and commentary. Like, my best commentary and my best ring announcing is when I feel it.
Yeah.
When it's real. When it's just autopilot.
Mm.
And I think hopefully saying this to you is going to make you do it.
Yeah.
Because, again, people love you because you're you. So be you on your introductions.
Yeah.
Like, you're clearly going to enjoy introducing Martina. Mm. I don't because I hate her. So, you know, you're going to do it differently to
yeah.
me. But I think that, like, it is that inner struggle, though, isn't it,
yeah.
with your brain?
Both. Yeah. So, Big Joe, for example.
Yeah.
His introduction... He has specific weights mm-hmm. and things. I got his height wrong, I think it was, one time. And I literally... He said, like, in the ring, he was like, that is not my height! Do it again, properly! And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And afterwards, shitting myself.
Yeah.
I was like, Joe, I'm so sorry. Honestly, I'm so sorry. He was like, what for, mate? And I was like, because I messed up. And he was like, oh, don't worry about it. Everyone does it all the time. And I'm like... I know, but I messed it. I'm so sorry. And he's like, it's fine, honestly.
You've just helped his character.
Exactly.
It's funny.
Exactly. He said that. He was like, look, at the end of the day, we went with it. Mm. You took it well of me going, mm-hmm. you know, and it did. It worked.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, do it again next time if you want.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. And it just made it a lot easier knowing that I hadn't actually really ruined his entrance.
Mm-hmm.
When it was just a mistake, and he mm-hmm. and he was just like, nah, whatever.
If you ever get weights wrong or heights wrong, weights is a little bit easier. You can go, you can even make a thing of it. It'll be like, I stand corrected, weighing in this morning at,
yeah.
and like, that's experience. You
yeah.
know, you learn how to
yeah.
paper over the cracks.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, just don't be afraid to be. You,
yeah,
you know, like it's a good thing. It's,
yeah,
you know, people are always going to like you more if you're authentic. You
yeah,
know? And if people hate you, people hate you. There's people
yeah.
that really don't like me, and that's fine.
Yeah,
like, and I don't necessarily know if that's personal or professional.
Yeah,
but like, and of course, like, you know, we're all the way we are, and that stuff obviously does bother us. But you know, it's that thing of you can never change that.
No.
Because you can never please everyone.
No.
You know,
no.
And people have preferences, especially
yeah.
in the roles that we do, ring announcing
yeah.
and commentary. You
yeah.
know, there's people that will tell you until they're blue in the face that Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler are the greatest commentators of all time.
Mm.
And there's people that will come into wrestling later on that would be like, that is the most archaic and outdated shit
yeah,
in the
yeah.
world ever. And like, I get that. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And there's people who I have preferences on commentary
yeah.
and commentators.
Yeah.
And that's fine because
yeah.
that's the nature of it.
That's it. As long as you're not a dick about it,
yeah.
then that's the whole thing, because you can have an opinion, but you don't have to be horrible about it. And then,
yeah.
you know, that's easy. I'm more than understandable. I understand that
mm.
people might not like me.
Mm-hmm.
I get that, you know. But if you don't like me, you don't like me. You know, I don't... That I'm not going to change.
Yeah.
Just don't be a dick about it.
I agree. And the thing as well, that we're really fortunate in our job that we're not... It's when, again, I said it before about if you do something well, people don't notice, but if you do something badly, they notice.
Oh, yeah, they do.
So luckily with our job, even if someone doesn't like you, it's such a brief thing. It's
yeah.
like, you literally like, here's this person, here's this person, see you later.
Yeah.
Like, are you ready for your next match?
Yeah. Next.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, so,
yeah.
you know, it's one of them things, but...
Yeah.
I get it. And, you know, the one positive, because, again, you know, this podcast is positive. The one thing I think that's really changed in the last 5 years is I saw you and Sarah Timmis talking about this, who I've known Timmis for a long time.
She is awesome.
She's funny as
anything. She's amazing.
Again, another person that is unfiltered herself.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes, there is no...
I've only met her twice, and I feel like I've known her my entire life.
Oh, yeah, she is. There is no lies there. But you were pointing out about supporting each other
mm.
and how important that is. And
mm.
I think that's really changed within non-wrestling roles
mm.
because I feel like people were very competitive in the past.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's only two commentators or three commentators.
Yeah.
There's only one ring announcer on a show.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
No.
Like, it does, because there's so much there to
yeah.
work with now.
Oh, yeah.
Like... I'm really glad that everyone's killing it, and I hope I always come across as I want to help people and I want to help people get better, because if we're all doing better, then we're all making money and we're all working and it's wicked.
Happy days.
So like I hope that it becomes like a standard thing now rather than a sort of...
mad, because I remember when Sarah did her first ring announcing gig, she messaged me asking me for advice, and I'm like, well, just be yourself. Like, I don't know what to say, because, you know, I'm no expert. I just wing it and hope for the best. But, and I was so proud, and she's doing so well. And, yeah, there's just no, there's no competition in it now. Like, well, I did this, but you did that. But there's nothing like that. And just be happy for people who work for what they do. And, you know.
I agree. That's... And no one's an expert. This is a thing. It's you can only talk from experience. Yeah. Like, that's it. And everyone's experience is going to be different.
Yeah.
You know, as much as me and Jim make the joke about me being Jim Smallman Jr., like, it's not true. You know, like, we have similar things and similar, you know, ways of doing stuff because we're mates. And we're not trying to emulate each other, or I'm not trying to emulate him. Yeah. Like, one of my favourite things, I don't think I've ever said this out loud. I'm not going to say the show, I'm not going to say anything other than, but I did a show once, I did my introduction for the show, and I heard someone in the front row go, "All right, shit, Jim Smallman." to which that actually made me laugh.
That's amazing.
Because I was like, that's the joke.
I'm
like. And then at the end of the show, same person came up to me and went, "I just wanted to say you did a really good job tonight." Yeah. And I was like, "Thank you very much."
Yeah.
Because I was just like, that's fine.
Yeah.
There is
worse people to be told that you're...
I don't know, mate.
Oh.
I don't know, mate. You know, that's questionable. So I know you've worked for a million companies. So you're working for... You're ring announcing for Breed at the minute, definitely.
Yeah.
You did your Shock Show, which I was like really excited about.
Oh, I was so happy to do that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I loved doing that.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That's good. Like, yeah, we just need Jade now to go and do a few Shock Show and then the whole gang's being.
Yeah.
So, but you also do social media and stuff?
Yeah.
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 You social media, here we go, here's their plug. Boom! For Wrestling Travel,
yes,
who once again have very kindly given us their office today. So talk a little bit about how you got involved with Wrestling Travel.
I can't even remember how it happened now. I just remember speaking to Carl, who works here, and he was like, "Oh, we might have some opportunities for you." And I was like, "All right, okay, cool." And then I didn't really hear anything, and then For the Love of Wrestling was coming up, and they were like, could you, you know, would you like this opportunity? We'll get you into For the Love of Wrestling. We want social media being updated and stuff. And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, they made me, not made, they asked me to write, like an article about whatever I wanted in wrestling and send it them as, like, a practice.
Yeah.
So I wrote about entrance music, because I find that entrance music is a key part to a show.
Yeah.
If I hear Jimmy Havoc's entrance music, straight away, goosebumps are happening. There's going to be blood. It's going to be good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to rhyme them.
It's
going to be good. It's going to be blood.
See? Becoming the ring announcer.
I know, yeah. went to For Love of Wrestling. Yeah. Like I said, didn't really know many people, but I loved that the Future Shock show was on as well that night. That was amazing. I think that might have been Rick's debut outside of Fighting Spirit. Oh, Leon Gray's.
Do you want to know why we know it was Rick's debut?
How?
Do you know that you're sat right next to the hard cam?
Oh.
And when we debuted it at Fab Cafe the other day, you can literally just hear you go like,
"Come on, Leon!
Oh, no!
Come on!"
It was really funny. It wasn't like all the way through the show, but you just occasionally hear your voice just go,
"Do you know what? I don't care."
No, you
I am
shouldn't.
So proud of him.
Yeah, you should be.
I am so, like... He was in the same ring as Pete Dunne.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Like, that's just so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm whatever. I still fangirl over him because, you know, he's my best friend.
And you should.
Yeah,
like, totally. Because we're all very supportive of each other,
absolutely.
You know, especially in event, because our little Northwest scene's very small. You know, I mean, I know you work for TNT as well over in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Obviously affiliated with Fighting Spirit, Future Shock,
Wrestle Island, This Is Wrestling.
Yeah, so even GBW as well, which, you know, a lot of people in the Northwest have a close affinity with, because it's where a lot of people started. And I think it's nice when there's a nice little community. And it's kind of nice as well, because I think for ring announcers and commentators, we all kind of know each other.
Yeah.
Little Kieran, just TNT.
Yeah, TNT, yeah.
It came up on my... I think you might have retweeted it, actually. It came up on my Twitter the other day, because he does commentary for TNT, doesn't
yes.
he? Yeah, Paul Kissick does it as well.
Paul's
a mate. And Mark Adams does it as well,
yes.
doesn't he? As well as Leanne. Oh, okay, cool. So there's a few people that have been involved with it. But Kieran came up, and I was like, recognise that voice? And then I saw his face, and I was like, oh! So, like, years and years ago, there used to be a company called Just Do that was... A very odd promotion in the sense that it was short but very sweet.
Mm.
There was a lot of people came through that. And Kieran actually ring announced on that show.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So I was like, I had a really nice little moment of like, oh, that's nice.
He's lovely, Kieran.
It's nice to see that. And, you know, and again, me and Paul are mates and stuff. And I'm glad that he's doing well over there. But I think that's what's quite nice. And again, like Tim is now starting doing it. There's this nice little group of us that are all like super happy for each other.
Yeah.
Talking of being happy for each other and being positive, PMA has become like your catchphrase.
Yeah.
It's your hire or my Fight Club effing pro. Why is mine offensive?
You've got to do the knee bend with it as well, though.
Oh,
it's not just Fight Club fucking pro, it's Fight Club fucking pro with the knees bent backwards.
Do you know what that's in honour of?
No.
So there used to be a ring announcer called Gavin Loudspeaker in Shikara, who I loved. If you remember tonight, go and check him out. He's the most... like random, kind of looked a little bit like Russell Brand, and he's like, he was just insane because of course Shikara, and he always used to do like this little, like, it was kind of more of a Mick Jagger than a Shinsuke Nakamura, but he used to do it, so I started doing it as my ode to Gavin Loudspeaker.
Nice.
So like every time someone brings it up, I'm like, I feel like I should be, you know, giving credit to the original man, and he's so it is funny. But I'm such a potty mouth.
I try not to be. I am in real life, but I really try hard not to. Sometimes it's got to be done.
Everyone thinks I used to swear loads at Fight Club Pro, and I didn't.
No,
there's shows that I would have. I know Jim does this. You can tell when Jim's nervous or stressed because he swears loads.
Mm.
Same with me. But like, I only ever used to really say Fight Club, fucking bro. This is definitely going to be an explicit episode. God, all them children now. But yeah, PMA's become your catchphrase.
Yeah.
Tell us what PMA is.
So it started with Breed, because they actually had that mantra, positive mental attitude. I don't even know. Just be positive about shit. And
Which is simple, but it's
effective.
Important.
It's so effective. Yeah. If you start thinking... if you go into a day thinking this day is going to be absolutely shit, it's going to be, because you've got it in that mindset. But if you think, right, what can I do today that's going to be, you know, positive, then you're going to look towards being positive about stuff. I don't know, just think of the positives that you can get out of any situation and ride with it.
Yeah.
And don't dwell on shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think this is why... I think this is why people have a connection with you, because it's so different to have someone that is in the position that you're in terms of the job you do be so open and honest about it. And I think that's important, because...
Do you know, it made me think, actually, today I was driving and I nearly pulled over to do a tweet, because I had it in my head and I was like, I need to tweet this, so I'm going to tweet it later anyway, because it's still in my head. But it's nice to see that people don't just go online these days to show off about the perfect lives. They go online to talk about their hard problems, to talk about what they're going through, to hopefully help other people and reach out. And even if they're just going on there just to let loose sort of thing, do you know what I mean? Like, vent. It's amazing that people aren't just pretending that life is perfect, because it's not.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes wrestling, it can lose that, because wrestling's an escape for a lot of us. And it absolutely is, and I use it for that, and I'm sure you're the same. I'm sure like 98% of people involved with it. But I think it's important for someone like you, who's a very strong female role model, to be like, actually come out and be like, it's okay to have emotions and feel certain ways and do this, you know. And it's the same way that I feel about being you know, what a fucking struggle I've got being a straight white male, you know what I mean? But, like, I do think it is important for someone who is a male in wrestling to be like, yo, dude, it's fucking, it's okay, you know? Like, the one thing I'm trying to talk about more now is, like, male body dysmorphia as well, because wrestling's not a real world. No. Like, if you live purely in wrestling, whether you're female or male or whatever, you will have a warped sense of what
reality
you think you should look like.
Yeah.
Because these are fucking the best athletes in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and they, it's their job to do this.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, it doesn't mean because they look like an Adonis, it doesn't mean that they're mentally an Adonis.
I struggled last year when I lost a lot of weight, and I really struggled being around other female wrestling people because they're built amazingly. Mm. They're in such good shape, athletic, you know, beautifully inside and out. And I just really struggled with that. And now I'm like, I admire them, not as a jealousy thing. And it's just like, wow, you're in such good shape. Like, oh, that's amazing. Like, I'll never be in that good shape because I'm lazy. But, you know, everyone's got different things about them, and there's no need for hate jealousy. There's good jealousy to have, like, oh god, I'm jealous of that hair, that's amazing. But if it's, oh god, look at her hair, oh bitch, there's no need for that.
It's again, it's the PMA thing.
Yeah,
it's the
taking the best out of every situation.
Be inspired by it. You know? Like, you know, me and JD are always fucking dicking about because, like, every time I go to the gym, I'll send him a picture of my arm and I'm like, coming for you, which is completely ludicrous because his arms are the size of actual trees.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like me doing like a squat and then going, "Yeah, Rampage Brown, I'm coming for you," as his legs engulf me. But it's that thing of like, use it as a positive.
Yeah,
and again, it's that thing of like, I really think it's important for anyone in any form of entertainment business or any form of being in front of an audience to have their moments to be like, look, it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I don't know, because we're friends, we've both been in a situation where we've not been okay, but now we are okay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it's going to be okay forever, because there's going to be dips and, you know, peaks and troughs and stuff like that. So
I'm just living for what's happening at the minute. And at the minute, life is meant, like, I can't actually stress how good it is at the minute. Like, I'm trying not to get emotional because you know, but it's
you can't cry on this podcast.
Okay, cool.
Because I'm the only person that cries on this podcast.
Right, okay.
And people never forget that.
Okay,
so.
Right.
I cried over John Cena, mate, so don't that was my legacy for a long time.
That's amazing. I won't cry, we're good. But yeah, life's good. But it hasn't always been.
No, it
and
hasn't.
It won't always be. No. There's gonna be something that'll happen where shit will go tits up.
Yeah.
But you deal with it. You don't... When I've seen my therapist before, like, I don't see him anymore, but, like, he was like, there's no point in worrying. It's so simple to say.
Yeah.
There's no point in worrying about something that might happen when you don't know how you're going to handle it. You just handle it at the time.
Mm.
So, like, I don't know. Just my thing, I don't like being sick.
Mm.
Okay, this is one of my big things. I remember saying when I was younger that I'd rather die than actually vomit. That's how sort of warped ahead can be when you've got a phobia that takes over your life.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And I was actually sick about a year and a half ago, and I literally emailed my therapist as I was still sat in the bathroom going, I've just been sick, I handled it, it was okay, it wasn't nice, but I'm okay, I'm alive, I'm fine, I'm okay. I'd not been sick for 15 years. And just knowing that I could handle that, the amount of worry that I'd had waiting for that moment, then 15 years of not being sick, and then just, it was over in 15 minutes and I was fine. Do you know what I mean? And it was the way that I handled it that made me think, right, that has been my biggest fear for so long, and I nailed it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, I still cried, but it was an emotional time, and I was just like, oh my god, I can't believe this happened. Dad, mom, look after me. But I survived.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing.
Perfect. That's how we're going to end it.
Yeah.
And the one thing you are sick at now is wrong answer.
Cheers, Bob.
No. I am. I'm proud of all my children, but I'm very proud of you. And it's I take a lot of joy out of seeing how much you've come on from not knowing how to even word how to put matches together
or even being able to go to a wrestling show without having lots of medication.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Now, wrestling is your medication.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh,
no.
We've gone there.
That was so cheesy and naff. I'm sorry, Pip. I've just made your podcast network really uncool.
Sorry, Pip.
Right. Let's wrap this up. Where can everyone find you on the social media?
Wrestling Travel, for the starters, because I usually do most shows through there.
Yep.
I'm usually on Future Shocks, I'm on TNTs. GPW, you've got a show the Friday after.
Mm-hmm.
Future Shock the following Saturday.
Yep.
Breed on that Sunday. It's a 3-day mad weekend for me.
Hell yeah.
Looking forward to it.
What's your personal Twitter handle?
Ms. Lucy Openshaw, MS Lucy Openshaw.
There you go. I'll tag it in the description anyway, don't worry. Awesome. You know where I am. I'm at M. Richards Host. Remember, tickets for Hardest Part of the Jaw. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'm working on guests as well, because it's a quiz and it's competition. I'm trying to get people that I'm like, who do I know who's really smart?
Nice. Can I mention the charity show?
100% go for it, yeah.
Putting on a charity show, raising money for Manchester Mind, and I need to learn how to say this, whether it's Papyrus or Papyrus.
Okay.
Mental health charity. It's a suicide prevention charity.
Awesome.
I can never say it, but yeah, for them. It's going to be on November 3rd at Fairfield Social Club. I have asked Future Shock if they don't mind.
They are
more than happy for me to do this. Tickets will be coming on sale within the next month or so, and all the proceeds go towards that charity.
Sweet. As soon as tickets go on sale, I'll tweet it out.
Awesome.
And we'll do a thing. And
cheers.
Remind me, we'll do a plug near the time as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to be back next week with... Oh, I know who the guest is. That's the first in like a long time where I know who the guest is. I'm not going to say who it is.
I want to know now.
I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay, good,
I'm not going to keep you in there. No, but yes, it's someone that has been requested a few times.
I'm excited.
Join us next week for Tuesday Night Jaw. In the meantime, keep that PMA up and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.